It wasn't on yet, right?
No, it just started.
Okay. So, first of all, we want to welcome everybody to our Hilika Chabura tonight, and Hashem should give us Siyata Dishmaya, they should be able to get some Shlemus. What do they say, the most important product is progress, you know, we want to grow a little bit in the Kodesh Hashem. So last week we gave usually have one main of the, and that's what we see, the parameters of how we work here, but sometimes Dovah Tov B'Ita, we have a few small planets in orbit also, together with the main, you know, the main of the. So last week, first of all, we spoke about being Mispalo, right? That's the beginning, it's like a beginning now after Pesach, so we should have a tefillah for all our Siddurim that we're learning now. But also we should say a tefillah. I just said one, like we should be Matzliach Taka, we should have a good successful Zman together, and all your endeavors that you do, you know, you do, it's always good to start off with a tefillah. That was number one. Number two, what was number two, Rabbi Zay?
Write down Chidushim about Pesach, Yitzis Mitzrayim, Makos.
Right. Your rayonos, your thoughts that you had of the Pesach, especially in our Chabur here, we make it very fertile. We make the ground very fertile that we should be able to get rayonos and machshavas because, you know, we spent a lot of effort in the weeks of the parshas of the Siyas Mitzrayim, you know, trying to focus on the makis themselves, giving like attention, going into the makis and think about them, and the Kriyas Yamsuf. And then as a preparation for Pesach also, we, you know, spend time trying to focus on into the hashkafas and the ideas that, you know, we should prepare ourselves with, have a good Pesach. So in our Chabura, it's not such a surprise that whether we have some thoughts that we had, you know, over Pesach, about the Haggadah, about the Seder itself, about the Yontif in general, right? So I suggested that you should commit to writing these thoughts that you have. They're very precious, right? What else did we do, Rabbi Sain?
The third thing was the time violation.
Right. That, you know, like, if you ask ourselves, like, superficially, or like, if we are, you know, more or less use our time properly, you know, we have our commitments to our jobs and to the family and our, you know, physical needs of sleeping and eating, and whatever we could, we try to, designate for our learning time. So if we took a superficial overview of our learning, you know, schedule and how we use our time, I think we would take an intelligent guess by saying basically the time is used out. But that's when you look like a step back and it's like a general overview of everything. But once you start getting down to the nitty gritty, you start saying, listen, how much time do I spend eating every day? And how much time in the average do I sleep? And my other tirdus, how much time I devote to my job, to my work? And you try to do it liberally. You know, don't try to, you know, do a minimum. Say maximum, you're sleeping. You're not sure whether it's 8.5 or 9, to make it 9, you know, and how much time you spend eating every day, and whatever your schedule is, you know, you should put it down on paper, and then also put in your learning time, how much time you have for your siddurim, and then you add it up and see, like, if you get 24, you know, sometimes you get 27, then you're lucky. You say, hey, how am I doing this? You know, it doesn't work out. Like, I'm using more time than I have. So that's terrific, you know. But sometimes it comes 22 or 21, you know, and then, hey, like, it's missing an hour. I don't know where it is, an hour and a half. Where could it be? You know, so the purpose of this over there, I made it clear, was not to see that we're wasting time. It's a docusticker thing here. Of course, it should eventually lead to that, but that's another shlav. The main purpose of this is not to see that we're wasting time. In other words, if you decide to devote an hour every day to playing ping pong, you know, or singing old American songs, you know, patriotic songs, or Toronto songs, you know, so that's fine. If you know you're doing it, as long as you're aware that you're taking an hour every day, you're wasting it, as far as this uvd is concerned, that's fine, because you're consciously doing it, you know where it's going. So the purpose of this uvd was not that we should try to avoid wasting time, which of course, that's the goal, like that we should try to get to that. But the main thrust of this uvd was to see to it that there isn't time that's unaccounted for. That's the word. If you're wasting it and it's accounted for, so as far as this uvd is concerned, that's fine. You know, as long as like, you shouldn't be going, and you don't even know where it's going, when it's going, it just goes. You know, it shouldn't just go. That's the main purpose of this uvd. Do you have anything you want to say about it? Or say about it or something?
First two, the third.
With
remembering to daven. I mean, beyond davening, obviously, when I daven, but I probably don't, in small little things kind of throughout the day, say, I can instead wait, I'm getting ready to my Seder the first second I walk into shul, you know, to say that tefillah.
Mm-hmm.
I have more of an issue with that. That's what I find more difficult. The awareness of time, I'm Hashem, pretty yucky type of person, mm-hmm. personality, so
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I don't waste time also. I do, but I know where I waste my time.
Right, so the main point of this is just it shouldn't be pockets of time that go away without being aware of them.
I didn't focus on that actually. I focused more on now that I know where my schedule is, but mm-hmm. I'm trying to focus on a little part of the day, trying to do a little bit more during mm-hmm. that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that that's the time that I'm less productive. I'm much less productive in the evening in terms of my learning mm-hmm. than I am in the morning hours. I get up early like the Rav does, and I just get tired in the evening, and I don't use my time as effectively, and I fall asleep learning, and so.
Sometimes it's it's not going to go to sleep.
So that's what I do. That's exactly what I try to do, is I try to go to bed earlier and get, a more full night's sleep so that I'm even more awake in the morning, and then I learn, and I do. And my kids make fun of me all the time. That we're, by 9:30, 10, we're sleeping.
That's good. That's good. It's beautiful. Many Yidden lived in that lifestyle, for many generations. They used to go to sleep early and get up early. And it's a very Torah-dic way of life. Okay, what about you, Baruch, too, Baruch, here today?
So I found for the time it was a useful exercise. I didn't finish doing it, but I already know in my mind, just thinking about it, that there are two pockets where I think I've got some unaccounted time. And one is in the early evening, and the other is, I'm self-employed, so I've got a lot of tasks. I'm trying to write down what I do when I work from, let's call it 9 to 5 or 9 to 6. I do so many different things, and it's different every day. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's also some downtime in there, I realized. Mm-hmm. So I could be using that more effectively. Mm-hmm. So I saw there was a sign up for an afternoon call here, which has piqued my interest. So I was trying to think whether I could work that out, just because I, you know, between 4 and 6 is a slot that could be available.
Right.
So
trying to put a Nate's call on between 5 and 7.
Don't you do Repagro?
I do Rafter, but we mean we want to make Chazek our Nate's minion.
So you mean you're really trying to put together a new chabur?
They're trying to put together, like, to have a number of people who commit to being here, learning or dabbling between 5 and 7.
So will you accept in that title, or are you just thinking about it, or?
I haven't passed the initiation. I don't know if I would.
Oh, you mean you put in a request that you should be accepted?
No, I'm just thinking about it. It's the first step.
It's open to anybody, or
yeah.
Here in the shul, or
yeah. It's a seder, not a kola. I don't think it's from the signs. It looks like they're having a learning seder
from four to six. Wonderful, very, very, very nice. Okay, everybody. So what I want to suggest for our moving on this week. This of the I think it's extremely chashuv, especially in light of the kshom that we had, our special kshom that we had, like with Pesach that we spoke about, because of the work that we put in. So I think that it's extremely important that we should try to keep try to keep our kesher with Pesach, do something to, which is really, really part of the avodah of the Sfiras HaOmer. What I'd like to suggest tonight is different aspects of making use of what the Sfiras HaOmer really is. Like, there are many, many aspects of the Sfiras HaOmer, right? Like, when you think about this, first of all, there's the Kabbanis HaOmer, right? That's what it's called, Sfiras HaOmer. The Omer is talking about the carbon Omer. Everybody says that's one thing. And then you have that's a preparation for Shavuos, for Matan Torah. That's another aspect of it, right? And then we say you have another aspect of it, which is the Avelis of the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva that were Nifta during that time. That's nothing to do with Kabbanis. Nothing to do with Hachana for Matan Torah. This was another aspect, and it's a very outstanding part of it, the Sfiras HaOmer, because whenever you mention to somebody when are you going to have the Eris, and you have a big Eris, and you say, yeah, I'd like to have a big party, but it's Sfira now, so we can't have it. In the general public, I think that if you want to take all these three aspects of it, the aspect of the Karbonus of the Omer, and the Hachana of Matan Torah, and the Patira of the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva, I think the part that's most outstanding, by the public, from these three aspects, is that I think by the general public the Avelis would be the most prominent, outstanding part of what you would call the Sphera. Oh, it's Sphera now. Referring to the Avelis part. So for some reason that became like an outstanding aspect of it. But the truth is that the other two aspects are even more important. Because that hachana for Matan Torah, that had nothing to do with that took place. Like, since we went out of Mitzrayim, right? So that's when they really had the first sphera, because they were counting the days, towards Matan Torah. So that part of it goes way back, if we say, from including the first year of the Siyas Mitzrayim, right? So the aspect of the Avelis is something that came years and years and years later. You know, so the real, we say the Raisa Diko, or the Tzura of it, the image of it, of its authenticity of what it really is. I would say, you know, the Korban Omer and the Hachana, for, you know, towards Matan Torah, it's called Shavuos. Anyway, everybody said, but I got a little bit off on a tangent. What I wanted to say was that it's also a continuation of the Kriyas Yamsuf that is through the auspices of the Sefira. It's like injected into this period of Achonah from Matan Torah, which is like a continuation of the Musug of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And like it's very interesting that we actually start the counting, you know, the second night of Pesach. During the Pesach itself, we start the counting, like, and that helps us bring like the Sefira, you know, into the period after Pesach also, because like we start already on Pesach counting, and then and this like has feelings of Pesach in it, because it's on Pesach and we're counting, and then the fact that we're continuing with it after Pesach gives us like a little tool to you know, appreciate like the continuation into the period after Pesach. So Rabbi say, like in conjunction with this thing, I just wanted to suggest that we should take how do you take the Yetzias Mitzrayim with you into the, you know, period after Pesach? Is that, you know, from some of the upnas that we did in, you know, our preparation for Pesach of this, like I would suggest when we say the mitzvah, when we're trying to be mekayim the mitzvah of zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, we say that we should try to remember the esemakis quickly. You know, remember we did this exercise that twice a day when you we kind to try to remember to do the tzachadash b'achav, right? Or, you know, whatever system you have for remembering the esemakis. So that's one very good way of taking the Pesach with us after Pesach. Also, another very valuable way is, and also making use of an uvda that we did b'shaitoi, is that the we once spoke about the importance, the very dramatic importance of the Shiva Sayam that we say every day, right? Look at the Zimra. Remember we spoke about that. You know, I think the Olam underestimates the importance of it, the impact of what it really is. These were the words. These were the very, very words that our Avosenu said when they witnessed the greatest demonstration of the Malchus Hashem in the history of the world. Like, what would you say when you witness such a, you know, stupendous event? So the answer is of Yashir. You know, like, and Chazal tells that it was simultaneously, miraculously uttered together with Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was like every word of it has extremely tremendous implications, right, and importance. So the suggestion is, everybody said that we did, you know, not so long ago when we had it in our Pasha. So what I would suggest, everybody said, when you say Oz Yashir every day, every morning, so try to generate some kind of feeling, you know, of the hashivas of what it is that you're standing, as we spoke about then, that you're actually standing by the edge of the Yam Suf, and you're observing the Nitzachon that you just had now over the stream, and that they're drowned in their, you know, and they're floating, you know, their bodies, and the tremendous destruction that it caused to them. So that's like a second way how we can take the Pesach and incorporate into our life after the Pesach. Okay. Do you have? have both of you, do you have a chavrusa to live with, Baruch? Any chavrusas?
No, not now.
No. What about you? You have a chavrusa? If you join this 4 to 6, then you probably haven't got a chavrusa. It's of your own choice that you have a chavrusa, or just a...
Well, I had one that stopped before Purim, and I'm looking to restart with him.
Mm.
And in the meantime, my son was here back from yeshiva, so I did learn with him for the mid-month of Nisan. But he's going back.
Where does he learn?
Wolfson.
Wolfson.
Well, in the Nesivas Torah, in Beit Vegan.
Anyway, what I wanted to suggest, another suggestion in the framework and in the, how should we say, the miscarriage of the Omer, of the significance of it, preparing for Matan Torah. So I would say, that make two suggestions for that. And all, you know, making use of the lessons that we have, that we learned, you know, and using it practically for what the Sfiras HaOmer is, you know, the Messiah, making use of our knowledge of this and practical ways of growing and applying them to, you know, to Sfiras HaOmer. So one of them, I would say, is we should make lekavod the Sfiras HaOmer, which is a hachana for Matan Torah, trying to have an improvement in our learning. Our learning programs, our learning schedules, and the methodology of our learning also. What I wanted to do, I suggest that you, a few minutes every day, try to step back and look at your learning program, whatever it is, you know, for how long it is, how short it is, whatever it is, and try to think whether how it can be enhanced and how it can be improved. In other words, like, it could be have a very solid Seder every day, for 2 hours every day, like really, really, really very stark Seder, 2 hours every day. But like you say, there's no reason why I shouldn't have 3 or 4. So on one hand, you feel very accomplished that you have a Seder, for that amount of time, whatever it is, an hour or two. But if you have like really more time on your hands, so it's chaval, that's short as it is, right? That's number one. So this first thing is that try to step back and look at what you're learning that you do and see if there's any type of improvement that you could do in it. Like also, it's a very tremendous mile in the learning to learn it over a few times. So sometimes like let's say your learning is, I'll give you an example, whatever it is in the evening, let's say. But so in the morning, if you can get together some minutes and learn it in the morning also what you can do in the evening, and if you even have another Seder during the day, some other time, a few times, try to have a Seder in the Chomer, your main Chomer of material that you're learning. And you'll see everybody say, it's awesome, the tremendous tewellas that you have from it is really eye-opening, everybody says, Mami, that's the only word I can use, it, like it opens your eyes, like it's like a whole different experience in the learning. So that's just one example, everybody say, of what you should step back and see if you can improve your learning in any kind of way. This is one example that you prepare it. Another example could be that you spend more time on it in the learning itself. You try not to rush through the learning, you know. In other words, try to step back and look what you're learning, whatever it is, and with who it is, and try to see whether there's room for improvement in it. That's number one. Number two, if we say, that in also conjunction with the Sfiras HaOmer that of the Petira of the Talmid of Rabbi Kiva, is that Havizoyah B'Kovod Chaverim, that, you know, any storm that you have, that you come in contact with another human being, so try to be sensitive, not to hurt the person's feeling, like while you're learning. Like sometimes a guy says something, and you can blast him out to Simmerines, what do you call Simmerines?
Smetherings.
Smetherings. Smetherings, you know, completely to schmet him, the guy. He says such a svara like that. Like try to take it easy. You know, of course, you know, Chazal say that during the learning itself, a person should you know, try to, each one should be like, they have like two wolves in the Havdil, you know, ready to devour each other. They said, Talmid Chacham, two of them, you know, they're in the Beis Medrash, they're like lions, and out of the Beis Medrash, they're like sheep. So the point is that Chacham Toshel Torah, that's a very good thing, and it's an advisable thing. Like to have a chavrusa that, you know, like, it's a challenge. But besides that, we say you should have special zehiras with the chavrusa. You know, when you learn with him not to hurt his feelings, not to go overboard with the Mecham Toshel Torah, we say. All right, we got that. So we have, again, the tefillas. We have the writing down, you know, the stuff from Pesach. And we have the Hemshech of Yitzchus Mitzrayim into this time period, and then we have the
accounting.
Well, there's another word for it. You take stock of your stuff. You call it a inventory of your learning to see, you know, if you learn better, you know, more time. And then thirdly, what we say. You know, these other two things that we just spoke about. Okay, you have a wonderful week with yourself. So,